From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. I hope you had an enjoyable Memorial weekend and took some time to remember our fallen men and women soldiers. They have fought for our freedom. Our tribute to them in this segment. Later tonight, strange artifacts in America, and in a moment, pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com joins us. We've got your text, tweets, emails. We'll take calls at the half. Here's what's happening. Dayton, Ohio, surrounding communities there under a huge tornado emergency as a large and destructive tornado has been reported to have hit already. The weather is out of control. We'll update you a little bit later on as things happen. Hundreds of rivers around the world from all over the place with dangerously high levels of antibiotics. The largest global study on the subject has found antibiotic pollution is one of the key routes by which bacteria are able to develop resistance to life-saving medicines, rendering them ineffective for human use. The rise in antibiotic-resistant bacteria is a global health emergency that could kill 10 million people by 2050. New orders for U.S.-made goods fell for more than expected in April, further evidence that the economy was slowing after a growth spurt in the first quarter that was driven by exports and a buildup of inventories. Mish Shedlock, our registered investment advisor with us. Well, the slowdown is beginning, isn't it?
Absolutely, George. In fact, I just did a post on my blog here. The yield curve is flashing the biggest recession signal yet. I counted the inversions. An inversion means that it's cheaper to borrow money for 10 years than for 6 months. That's what it boils down to. The yield curve is inverted out to 15 years. I counted 33 inversions here on my blog. Might have missed a couple. That is the traditional recession signal. When we get this inversion. Now, we've been flirting with recession, and Gary Schilling, U.S. economist Gary Schilling, thinks the recession has already started.
Jeez.
George, that's not my call yet, but we're flirting with it. We're seeing
We're on the cusp.
Rosenberg, other economists talking about this too, George.
Well, what happens as we get toward 2020, the election? What if things aren't humming along?
That's another fear here, and I was surprised, George. I don't know about you. I thought that Trump was going to work out a deal with China. I really did.
I did too.
That. I don't get everything right. No one does. But I figured that we needed to get this deal, and China needed to get this deal. Something happened. I don't know what exactly. Whether it's his advisors or just something he decided on his own to do. But, you know, all of a sudden, now China's saying, you know what, we're not going to talk to the U.S. because you are violating our core principles. So something happened here, and we're already seeing a global slowdown and a big trade war. Is just going to exasperate the problem. The EU, we've got Brexit going on, so Europe is slowing, and that's a real mess over there. The whole global economy is slowing. Exports from Japan and South Korea, mainly to the U.S., plunged. That says something about demand in the U.S. falling. Of course, tariffs are a tax on consumers, and Trump is threatening to raise them. All of these things are flashing huge signals here. Schilling thinks, like I just said, that the recession started. Not my call yet, George, but we're close.
We're in better shape than Europe, Mish, but I got to tell you, it's a world economy these days. Everything needs to get fixed. Thanks. A Japanese man has died on a flight from Mexico City bound for Japan after ingesting 246 bags of cocaine. Can you believe that? A Colorado patent lawyer is dead. He died while descending from the summit of Mount Everest, the second American in as many weeks to die during the peak climbing season of the world's highest mountain. He was 62 years old. What's in a name? Well, the amateur astronomers and scientists fixated on Jupiter, there's been a recent need to describe its iconic storm as more than just a great red spot. Here on Earth, storms are born and then they disappear. And though it has lingered for hundreds of years, Jupiter's famous vortex may be approaching, they say, the end of its lifespan. And that's strange. The giant red spot appears to be getting smaller. What else is going on in the skies? Let's check in with Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates, with his weekly report. Hi, Stephen.
Hello there, George. And as we remind everybody on Memorial Day, we all say it, all gave some and some gave all, and we salute our veterans.
Absolutely.
But, George, going right to it, I'm going to have a little more to say about Jupiter's unraveling of the red spot and how the listeners can participate. But we begin with space. SpaceX, as many know, had another successful launch on the 23rd of May as another Falcon 9 rocket launched 60, George, of these Starlink satellites into low Earth orbit. This is the first step in a series, as many might know, to launch and develop a new global internet system service to all parts of the globe. In just a moment, I'm going to talk about how we, here on planet Earth, can look in the sky and see some amazing sights with this Starlink satellite cluster. We call it a satellite swarm. Moving quickly, George, to astronomy, Oumuamua, the strange asteroid or comet-like object that is rapidly moving away from the solar system, thought to come from another star system, it's still in the news. But until now, no real viable theory has been proposed as to why this unique object is actually accelerating as it moves away from the sun. But some astronomers, George, believe that Oumuamua is actually a large chunk of cometary ice made up of something we call molecular hydrogen and maybe a component of one of the missing parts of matter in the universe called dark matter, evaporating and producing jets of gas for thrust. But, George, we saved the best for last in the live sky. Observers around the world are seeing these recent SpaceX Starlink satellite swarms, a cluster of about 50 or 60 bright objects moving across the sky like a train with 50 or 60 cars attached. Here's what I'm going to recommend to the listeners. Go to this website to find out how you can observe this while it's in the sky. Go to N2YO.com. You'll learn so much more and get to see something amazing. But, George, as you talked about at the beginning of the program, amateur astronomers around the world, if you have a telescope and you're listening to this radio show, look out into the southeast sky on these beautiful late May evenings. George, in a telescope, the red spot seems to be unraveling right before our eyes. And I can say with personal experience, I'll even try this next week when we do this again, you should be able to see some material actually coming off this. It's been around for 500 years. Always remember, if you've got questions, we've got answers. My email, drskyshow@gmail.com. And always remember to keep your eyes to the skies.
Thank you, Dr. Sky. Makes you want to run out and get a telescope, doesn't it? The Science Channel will investigate the most popular conspiracy claims surrounding the Apollo 11 moon landing nearly 50 years ago in the upcoming series, The Truth Behind the Moon Landing. It premieres June 2nd at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on the Science Channel. One of the participants in the program is none other than a Coast to Coast guest, Mike Barra. Mike, I'm looking forward to this. Any secrets there?
Any secrets? Well, actually, you know, George, we are still shooting some segments for the last two episodes. And, yeah, I just found some stuff out that I did not know about the fact that there really was a secret space program in the U.S. And it's amazing. I'm finding out all kinds of things. But so far, I think we're leaning toward we did land on the moon.
The program is going to test claims about the Apollo 1st fire. They're going to talk about Neil Armstrong and everything else. So I look forward to it. And, Mike, you're on with also a former FBI agent, Chad Jenkins, and also an astronaut, Leland Melvin.
Yeah, it's an interesting crew, and we really get, you know, look, we really wanted to do a show where we would put to rest, get to the bottom of all of these rumors about whether or not the moon landings were faked, and that's what we absolutely do in the show, and I don't think there will be any questions left unanswered after the show airs.
Truth Behind the Moon Landing, it's June 2nd, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Well, I hope you enjoyed your Memorial weekend, of course, but always take some time with you, your family, and your friends, and remember those in the military who have fallen. He was getting old and punchy, and his hair was falling fast, and he sat around the Legion telling stories of the past, of a war that he had fought in, and the deeds that he had done, and his exploits with his buddies. They were heroes, everyone, and though sometimes to his neighbors his tales became a joke, all his buddies listened, for they knew whereof he spoke. But we'll hear his tales no longer, for old Bob is passed away, and the world's a little poor, for a soldier died today. And now he won't be mourned by many, just his children and his wife, for he lived an ordinary, very quiet sort of life. He held a job, he raised a family, quietly going on his way, and the world won't notice passing, though a soldier died today. You know, when politicians leave this earth, their bodies lie in state, while thousands note their passing and proclaim that they were great. Papers tell of their life stories from the time that they were young. But the passing of a soldier, it goes unnoticed and unsung. The politician's stipend and the style in which he lives are sometimes disproportionate to the services that he gives. While the ordinary soldier who offered up his all is paid off with a medal, perhaps a pension, small, so it's easy to forget them, for it was so long ago that our Bobs and Jims and Johnnies and Jessicas went to battle, but we know. It was not the politicians with their compromise employees who won for us the freedom that our country now enjoys. Now, should you find yourself in danger with your enemies at hand, would you really want some cop out with his ever waffling stand? Or would you want a soldier who has sworn to defend his home, his kin, his country, and fight until the end? It was just a common soldier, and his ranks are growing thin, but his presence should remind us that we may need his like again. When his countries are in conflict, then we find the soldier's part is to clean up all the troubles that the politicians start. If we cannot do him honor while he's here to hear the praise, then at least let's give him homage at the ending of his days. Perhaps just a simple headline in the paper that might say, "Our country is in mourning, for a soldier died today." And welcome back to our Memorial Night program. George Norrie with you. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us for the next hour and a half. A registered pharmacist, nutritionist, cosmetic chemist as well. Spokesperson for CriticalHealthNews.com. One of our sponsors, of course. And, of course, there's a toll-free number included here to call for assistance and help. 1-855-949-RADIO. 1-855-949-7234. It's not to get on the show, but it's to call for assistance. Ben, welcome back, and hope all is well with you, my friend.
Thank you, George. Good to be back. Happy Memorial Day, and a big salute to the veterans out there.
Absolutely.
It's important to remember their sacrifices. Sometimes we take things for granted.
We sure do. Do you know how many World War II veterans have been passing on?
It's crazy. I love watching the World War II history retrospectives. You see them on TV. They're amazing. The things that those guys went through, well, of course, all veterans did. But World War II people forget how unbelievable that battle, that war was.
One of my buddies who was a commander with me in the Navy just a few years ago retired, and he made it to Rear Admiral.
Is that right?
That's incredible.
Rear Admiral. If you you weren't in the military, were you?
Yeah, 9 years in the Navy.
I was going to ask you about this. You the Navy, huh?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
See, I said, sir.
Happy Memorial Day to you as well, Ben.
Well, to everybody involved, that's for sure. Look, I've got a lot of emails from people. We'll take calls a little earlier tonight, Ben, and everything else. But, you know, it seems to me that people are trying to do their best to get healthy, but a lot of people are hitting the wall. What's going on here?
Beliefs. It's our beliefs that are in the way. We live in a capitalist society, and I'm a capitalist. I'm not complaining about that at all. But sometimes capitalism and healthcare make unholy bedfellows. And the problem is we've got a belief. We've got beliefs that are injected into the public domain. People buy into them, and they're not in the individual's interest. Drugs are a classic example, and I've been studying medicine now for 30-plus years. By medicine, I mean drugs, pharmaceuticals. Classic example is this idea that we can be medicated back to health. In fact, that we can be medicalized back to health is a belief system that doesn't withstand scrutiny. You know, memes are this idea of mind viruses. Have you heard of this term, memes?
Mm-hmm.
Mind viruses. The opposite of a meme is critical thinking. Memes and critical thinking are opposites. We have to start to apply critical thinking to how our bodies work. The very notion that you can be poisoned into health flies in the face of common sense. And a little bit of analysis will show that what we call side effects are really the effects of drugs. We make it sound like there's little accidents when we have side effects. The fact of the matter is you can't take a prescription drug and not expect to disrupt the very sensitive, exquisitely choreographed biochemistry of the body. On the other hand, health is really simple. There's not a lot of things that are involved in keeping the body healthy. It involves movement, it involves breathing, it involves correct food, it involves supplementation, it involves hydration, mental and emotional strategies. Nowhere, nowhere is there a role for the medical model when it comes to day-to-day health. When it comes to heroic medicine, absolutely. When it comes to repairing things, when it comes to patching things up, when it comes to emergency surgeries, absolutely. But in terms of day-to-day health, this is something that we have to learn to take responsibility for ourselves. It is not complicated.
Ben, I had a story on before you came on about how rivers are loaded with antibiotics these days, creating antibiotic-resistant bacteria. That's not a good thing. They're predicting that by 2050, 10 million people across the planet could die just from this stuff.
I had a professor in pharmacy school back in the 1980s who said, wait till you see what's coming up ahead with antibiotic resistance. He saw it. And by the way, people think that if they don't take antibiotics that they're okay. No. They're in the fish. They're in the water. They're in the
They're everywhere.
Dairy. They're everywhere. They're absolutely, you know, 50 to 60% of antibiotics are sold to agriculture, sold for farmers, or sold for animals. So you can't get around it. You know what the best antibiotic is, George? Vitamin C. When I say best, I mean potent,
yep,
non-toxicity.
Build up your immune system.
Build up your immune system. Reduce the sugar intake. Relax the body. Again, this underscores, highlights the very simple things that we can all be doing to restore ourselves back to health. And, of course, George, if you don't have your health, nothing else matters.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. You can't help the people you care about, Ben. You can't do anything if you don't have your health.
On the airplane, they tell you, put the oxygen on yourself first. And you don't want to be a burden to anybody else either, George.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us from criticalhealthnews.com. Go to the website, take a look at the videos they've got posted, and there's a phone number to call for assistance. 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. I've got some emails here, Ben. We'll take calls at the half with you in next hour as well. And thank you for spending your Memorial night with us.
Totally my pleasure.
That.
And I'm debt myself, Dr. Wallach, all the folks at Critical Health News are dedicated to this work.
DB from Vancouver Island writes, Pharmacist Ben, I've been needing some help about supplementing for type 2 diabetes. I'm 6 feet, 364 pounds. I take metformin. I'm doing some exercising. What do you recommend?
Oh, my goodness. So many different things. First of all, it doesn't appear that the metformin is doing any good, and metformin's got its own side effect profile that's unpleasant. Diabetes, to me, type 2 diabetes, or so-called insulin resistance syndrome, is the most tragic of all the health challenges because it is the quintessential example of a lifestyle disease. There's no diabetes bug. There's no diabetes dust that gets sprinkled on you. There's no diabetes toxin. It is strictly a food issue. And also nutritional deficiencies compound the problem. So first and foremost, you got to get the food under control. The ketogenic diet is the ideal diet for diabetics. The ketogenic diet, of course, is a low-carbohydrate, low-calorie, and high-fat diet. Supplements, chromium, vanadium, are the superstars for treating diabetes and insulin resistance. And by the way, when you treat your diabetes, your cholesterol goes down. So people who take our glucogenics and sweeties, which are diabetes supplements, notice that their cholesterol and their blood fats drop because cholesterol levels are linked to sugar. Elevated cholesterol is a sugar problem. And so when you're dealing with elevated cholesterol, it's not an issue of statin drugs. It's an issue of food and nutrition. Other nutrients that are important are magnesium. I know you love magnesium, George.
I do.
It's a key player in blood sugar control.
Great for the heart, too.
And it's great for the heart. It's hundreds of different chemical reactions in the body depend on magnesium. Zinc is a superstar mineral for all kinds of things, but especially for blood sugar issues. There's a really neat supplement that we never talk about called alpha lipoic acid. Have you heard of this?
I sure have.
It's awesome stuff for so many different things. It's in our glucogenics capsules. Alpha lipoic acid.
Good stuff.
It's one of the rare antioxidants. In fact, it's the only antioxidant I know of that is water-soluble and fat-soluble. That's a very fascinating molecule, and that gives it some tremendous properties, especially for pain. It's one of the standbys for treating something called peripheral neuropathy.
Hold on for a second, Ben. We're at the break already. We'll come back and talk more about what you can tell DB about his diabetes. We've got more texts and tweets and emails, and we'll start with your calls next. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs from CriticalHealthNews.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. And those of you who have served in the military, or you have friends or family that have served or are serving, thank you. Thank you. And we are back with pharmacist Ben Fuchs. By the way, they have free apps for you in your app store for Critical Health News. So take advantage of it. Put it on your smartphone, download it, and enjoy. And also crash their server tonight. We're well on the way to, I think, doing it with Ben Fuchs here. And we're going to be back with Ben to take phone calls as well. Ben, let's finish up on DB's request for information about diabetes.
Yeah, so the most important thing about diabetes is recognize that you and we all have control over how our blood sugar shows up, mostly through food. Stress will also play a role, by the way. Cortisol, stress hormone, can raise blood sugar. So you got to be a little bit careful with the stress levels always. In fact, did you just read about the World Health Organization determining that burnout is a medical crisis?
Yes, it sure is.
Isn't that interesting? So, yeah, you got to learn to relax. Very important. The body's healing system is activated by the relaxation nervous system and lowering cortisol, stress hormone, that is a very important strategy for diabetes as far as supplements go. Selenium, MSM, you can get everything in our glucogenics capsules and our Sweeties product as well. You know what else? The sun is one of the best ways.
Best way for vitamin D.
Yes, vitamin D, exactly. Vitamin D is very important, not just for blood sugar, but it's important for all building. In fact, there's a condition called keloids. Have you ever heard of this?
Keloids.
Keloids are these nasty scars that men get when they shave sometimes, and they form on the face. Really, really horrible, disfiguring condition. It turns out that vitamin D deficiency is associated with these fibroids, as well, keloids, as well as fibrosis in general. The body doesn't heal as well under conditions of vitamin D deficiency. It doesn't build as well under conditions of vitamin D deficiency. You don't make as much male hormone, and under conditions of vitamin D deficiency, it's very hard to control your blood sugar.
All right, let's go to some of the phone calls here, and we've got text and tweets from Tom for you, Ben. Sherry in Memphis, Tennessee, east of the Rockies to get us going. Hi, Sherry, go ahead.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask, what should I take, because I've had so many antibiotics, I don't have any bacteria or enough bacteria in my system.
Get yourself on. Yeah, that's a great question. Now, the antibiotics, and also, by the way, vaccines play a role in this, too, in killing off those good bacteria. And more, just over the last 15 or 20 years, we're understanding how powerful these good bacteria are when it comes to impacting our health. You know, if you went on Google and searched probiotics and good bacteria 20 years ago, you wouldn't find it very much. If you look now, it's like page after page after page of articles and science and scientific studies and research on probiotics and good bacteria. So, yes, that's a very good question. And anybody who's dealing with autoimmune diseases or digestive health challenges or immune conditions, you got to recognize the importance of the gut bacteria. Get yourself on the Nightly Essence from Youngevity, best probiotic I know of. Use fermented foods, especially fermented vegetables. So darn important, fermented veggies. You know, when people think of fermented food, they think of yogurt. But the best fermented foods are fermented vegetables, especially for the gut, because you get the bacteria, you get acid and enzymes, and you also get fiber, and you get nitrogen in fermented vegetables. Make sure you're using, speaking of fiber, make sure you're using vegetable juices, or I like grinding up flax seeds in a coffee grinder to keep your bowels regular. There's a major interplay between fiber and probiotics, and there's a major interplay between liver health and the gallbladder and probiotics. So make sure you're taking care of your liver and your gallbladder. Use the ultimate enzymes from Youngevity. Reduce your sugar intake. That's always going to be important for the liver. Lots you could do for the intestine, and it's job number one, not only if you're sick, but even if you're healthy, it's job number one to maintain your health.
Ben, opioid epidemic. People are popping these things like candy. What the heck is going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. First of all, opioids replace the happy hormones that should be in our brain anyway. And these happy hormones are called endorphins, which are natural brain chemicals that are very similar to opiates, become deficient when we don't move our bodies, when we don't exercise, when we're not sedentary. And under conditions of endorphin deficiencies or natural opiate deficiencies, we'll do anything to get those things back up again. And once we get on the Vicodin or get on the OxyContin, it's like, bingo, we hit the jackpot, and it's going to be impossible to withdraw. Now, if you're trying to withdraw off the opiates, it's extra important that you be kind and loving to your body. This is the key to getting off of the opiates. Make sure you're kind and loving to the body. One of the best things you could do if you're trying to wean yourself off of opiates is to make sure you're practicing your slow, deep breathing techniques. Slow, deep breathing activates the relaxation nervous system, and it gives your body energy, good, clean energy. You know, when you do slow, deep breathing, you actually electrify the viscera, the internal part of your body. Your digestive system gets electrified. Your liver gets electrified. All the organs inside the center of your body become electrified, and you get this beautiful, clean energy. Not only that, it's a great way to lose weight and to improve the shape of your body, slow, deep breathing. Also, if you're trying to wean yourself off of opiates, it becomes really important, uber important, that you use nutritional supplements, especially your fatty nutritional supplements. And by that, I mean your omega-3s and omega-6s, your ultimate EFAs from Youngevity, as well as the electrolytes, which give your brain energy. Lots you can do, but it's really, really important to recognize that if you're stuck on the opiates, that you be and you want to get off of it, that you're very, very, very kind and loving to your body.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us from criticalhealthnews.com, your website, the toll-free number to call for assistance. There are humans there who can answer questions for you, as Ben is. 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Let's go to Klaus in Seattle, Washington. Welcome to the show. Hi, Klaus.
Hey, Klaus.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling on behalf of a 22-year-old female who lives in Pretoria, South Africa, and is very sick. She is like 130 pounds, 6 feet tall, and sick the last 5 years. She has been diagnosed with Marfan syndrome, MAN2B syndrome, ankylosing spondylitis, and she is very allergic. Since March, she starts sneezing when she's eating any food.
Okay.
Sounds like a gluten tolerance.
I was about to say, this is a woman who's very, very toxic. The connective tissue is the part of the body that connects everything together. It's also the part of the body that nourishes and electrifies and detoxifies and oxygenates all of the cells. The connective tissue is the great dumping ground of toxicity from the digestive system. So when we eat, the food goes into the blood. If it doesn't get processed through the intestine correctly, toxins literally leak into the blood. Once this happens, you've got toxins floating around in the blood. Eventually, those toxins are going to get dumped out into the connective tissue. And things like fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome and connective tissue diseases, which this woman has, are manifestations of toxicity in the connective tissue. There is zippo, nada, zero, nothing the pharmacomedical model can do for this. Nothing. Zero. I don't know how many ways I can emphasize that. Nothing. But what you can do is you can begin to clean the blood. She's lucky she's young. As we age, by the way.
That helps.
Yeah, she's young. As we get older, we all have manifestations of this. Not as dramatic as Marfan syndrome, which is a disease of the connective tissue, or ankylosing spondylitis. But still, we feel tired. Our bodies start to break down. We get arthritis. All of the diseases that show up with as we age are manifestations of the same kind of phenomena, toxicity in the connective tissue. So first and foremost, as always, clean the blood out by stopping the stream of toxicity that gets into the blood through the digestive tract. And that means all the things we just talked about, eliminating problem foods, making sure you're using your ultimate enzymes from Youngevity and your probiotics, your nightly essence and fiber, and this is all kinds of strategies for the digestive system. Then start building up that connective tissue. Arthritis supplements will build up the connective tissue. And by the way, wrinkles in the skin are a sign of connective tissue deterioration too. So when you use our glucogel caps, that helps your wrinkles. When you use nutrients that help build your joints, you also help build prevent wrinkles from forming. You also protect your cardiovascular system, because that depends on connective tissue, and you can start to rebuild some of the connective tissue if you're dealing with diseases like ankylosing spondylitis or Marfan syndrome. Bone broth protein, and then there's your favorite, George, hyaluronic acid.
That's right.
I know you like that one. So make sure you do.
It's good for your skin.
Copper is also very important for building the connective tissue. And guess what? The most important connective tissue building supplement is something that it just goes under the radar because it's so powerful and so important. Sometimes we just don't appreciate it, and that's vitamin C. You know, scurvy, vitamin C deficiency disease, is a connective tissue deterioration disease very similar to ankylosing spondylitis and arthritis and heart disease, for that matter. And there's some people who believe, some physicians who believe that heart disease is actually subclinical scurvy or a sign of scurvy. So making sure you get on that vitamin C, absolutely vital for building the connective tissue. And last but not least, George, even if you don't feel like it, exercise is really important.
It sure
even
is.
If it's just touching your toes, or even it's just walking up and down the stairs, because you generate electrical charges in the connective tissue that tell the system to grow when you move your body. So even if you're in pain, joint pain, ankylosing spondylitis, whatever, that's the time when you want to do a little bit. Not a lot, just a little bit of stretching or a little bit of exercise.
Klaus, I hope that helps, sir. CriticalHealthNews.com. We have texts and tweets. Tom, what do you have for Ben?
Hey, Ben, this one in from Justin in Silver Springs, Florida. Please ask the pharmacist to talk about the health benefits or lack of eating dark chocolate. And he says, P.S., what is cocoa and is it healthy?
Aha. Good questions.
All right. Everybody loves chocolate. You ever wonder why everybody loves chocolate?
Sugar.
It's because that's exactly right. It's the sugar and the fat. If you ever have baker's chocolate, the stuff that's a brick that, you know, you put in.
Yeah, it's kind of bland.
It's awful. It's alkaline and bitter, and it's hard, very medicinal stuff. And indeed, cocoa is medicinal stuff. They called it theobroma. The Indians called it theobroma, which means food of the gods. They would drink cacao, and they'd have psychic experiences, psychedelic experiences from the cacao. Cocoa is really, by itself, is loaded with antioxidants and iron and magnesium. It's got fiber. It's got flavonoids. But that's chocolate. That's cacao. The chocolate that we eat today is not the same thing. Now, dark chocolate's got a little bit more cacao. It's like 70-80%. Nonetheless, you're still going to be getting a lot of sugar and a lot of other things in there. But as far as snack foods go or dessert foods go, you could do worse than dark, really rich dark chocolate.
You sure can. Let's take a call here before the break, and then we'll come back with an hour of phone calls. Gordon in Plant City, Florida, is with us. Gordy, go ahead.
Oh, doctor, I'm sorry, pharmacist Ben and George, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
In any case, I'm, as you know, a very poor person, and thanks for that last package, but I can feel a cataract coming on. I suspect it based on me having one before after I got hit in the eye, and also occasionally encounter fatigue. What can a very, very poor person do in eating, sleeping, exercising, and stress to try to slow it down or reverse it? I know that these are very hard, and I do consume a lot of vitamin C, and I try to maintain exercise and stress. I'll hold on in case you want to ask me any questions or whatever.
Yep, I'll tell you.
Cataracts are tough, Ben.
I'll give you a bunch of cheap things to do, okay? First of all, sugar destroys the eyes. Cataracts are a kind of sugaring of the eye. So keeping your sugar down and going ketogenic, you'll not only be – that's not only inexpensive, you'll actually make money by doing it because you'll be eating less food. So you'll actually be able to save money. And calorie restriction, by the way, will help as well. That's one cheap thing you could do. Another cheap thing you could do is I'll give you a couple of nutrients that you can take that are inexpensive. Selenium is very inexpensive. You know, Jabby's got a great selenium product, by the way.
What about lutein?
Lutein. You stole my thunder there, George.
Pretty good. I've learned from you guys.
That's going to be my third thing there. Zinc is another cheap mineral that you can take. Vitamin E is a cheap vitamin that you could take. And then, George, your point is very well taken. Pigments that are found in vegetables are very protective for the eyes, and they're very protective for the skin from sunburn. So, but you have to be able to cook the pigments in butter. You got to warm the pigments in butter. So you take your vegetables and you steam them a little bit. You don't want to heat them too much, and you add a little butter. The pigments, lutein is a pigment, zeaxanthin is a pigment, carotenes are pigments. All of these pigments come out in the butter. They're released out of the broccoli and the watercress and the Brussels sprouts and the carrots and whatever you're doing, and they go, they're loosened out, and they go into your digestive tract, they go into your eyes, and they protect your eyes. Be very careful of cataract surgery, by the way. There's a lot of people that have bad prognosis from cataract.
That's why they do one eye at a time now.
Is that right?
Just in case.
That,
just in case.
Yes, just in case. That's a very good idea. And if you are doing cataract surgery, by the way, supplementation can improve your prognosis. So all these things that we just talked about will improve your skin, your body's ability, your eyes' ability to heal.
And a couple minutes to go before the top of the hour, Barbara in California writes, I've been diagnosed with Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism.
Yeah.
What can I do?
Okay, well, they're the same thing. Hashimoto's is the most common form of hypothyroidism. Hypothyroidism is classified as an immune disease or an autoimmune disease. Hashimoto's is, I should say. Whenever you have an autoimmune disease, you've got to go back to the digestive system. Once again, the digestive system is where the toxicity begins. Autoimmunity is a toxicity problem. Work on the digestive system. When you have hypothyroidism, you get this vicious circle because the thyroid regulates the digestive system. So poor digestion slows down the thyroid, which gives you poor digestion, which slows down the thyroid, which gives you poor digestion, et cetera, and you end up with this vicious downward circle. So breaking that loop with good a good probiotic supplement like the Nightly Essence from Longevity, making sure you're doing the fiber, making sure you're keeping that gut clean. I'd be going ketogenic if I had hypothyroidism. It's a great way to get more energy, and it's also a great way to keep your calories down and your digestive system from being overworked.
Indeed, indeed. Ben Fuchs with us, Pharmacist Ben. The website, of course, go to it often, criticalhealthnews.com, criticalhealthnews.com. I know some people, Ben, who it's their morning regimen. That's what they do. They wake up, go to the website, take notes, and start spending your day.
That's great. Thank you.
With great operators on the other end, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. If you missed the phone number, it is on the criticalhealthnews.com website. We are going to come back in a moment, another final hour to go with pharmacist Ben Fuchs with your phone calls, just trying to help you out a little bit, give you an extra boost in your life. We'll be back.